This morning, we turn to God's Word, and we look to the book of Acts in the second chapter. And I'd like to pick up at the verse 41 and reading to verse 47. Those who accepted his message were baptized, and 3,000 were added to their number that day. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Everyone who was filled with awe and many wonders and miraculous signs were done by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common. Selling their possessions and good, they gave to anyone as he had need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. Today is, an exciting day in the lives of the families who had young people profess their faith in Christ. Today is a pinnacle of things that have happened over their whole life. You who have influenced stories, experiences that have led each of these young people to the place where they say, I can't wait to live for Jesus. And I want to do it in the community of faith called the church. This morning really is answering the question, what is God doing? Let me give you the answer. God is making all things new. Acts chapter 1 has just had Jesus ascend into heaven. Acts chapter 2, remember they were told to wait. They were to wait for the pouring out of the Holy Spirit. And yet when you look to the book of Acts, you look to chapter 2, verses 41 to verse 47, and some people go, hey, if we do this, we're going to have an exciting, we're going to have a vibrant church. If we just copy everything they did, we're going to be good to go. But that's not what Acts 2 is about. Acts 2 is about what God has done and what God was continuing to do. What was God continuing to do? God was continuing to make all things new. And he was pouring out his Spirit, and people were coming to faith in Christ. Look at what God is doing in the world. This morning is a small picture of that. Look at what God is doing through the life of the church in the area of refugee sponsorship. Look at what God is doing by the church being a viable presence in the community, speaking about justice and mercy and of grace. Look to the fact that the church in many parts of the world is exploding at an alarming rate. God is still in the life-changing business. Pentecost was just happening. Peter had preached probably his best sermon of all times. Gotta wonder what it was like. You go in, you preach a sermon, and 3,000 people come and go, I want to be saved. I want Jesus, and I want to live for him. I can only imagine if all of you, for the very first time, heard the story of the grace of God and said, I want to believe in Jesus. Man, that would be awesome. And here are people who for the very first time hear the gospel and they come to faith in Christ. And the church is born. The church wasn't existing at this time as we know it. But God called together a group of people who responded to faith, and they decided that they wanted to live together in community, and it exploded. Hear part of Peter's sermon. Men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man attested to you by God with mighty words and wonders, and signs that God did through him in your midst, as you yourselves know. This Jesus delivered up according to the definite plan and the foreknowledge of God. You crucified and killed him by the hands of lawless men. Let the house of Israel therefore know that God made him Lord and Christ, this Jesus who you crucified. Peter proclaimed the story of God, people of God. He had told them, this one that you have seen do miraculous signs and wonder, like calming the storm and parting waters. This one who saw raise the dead and the sick and the lame. This is the same Jesus who needed to go to the cross, who needed to die, so that you may know grace and hope and mercy and life, that you may be able to live in the peace and the knowledge and the love of God. How did they respond? He tells us. Now when they heard this, they were cut to the heart. And Peter said to the rest of the apostles, brothers, what shall we do? And Peter said to them, repent, every one of you, in the name of the Lord Jesus, for the forgiveness of sins, and you will receive the Holy Spirit. For the promise is for you, for your children, for all who are far off, for everyone who calls in the name of the Lord. And with many words, he bore witness and continued to exhort him, saying, I'm missing a word there. Here are hearers who come up with the inescapable truth that Jesus is the Messiah. He had been on the move. Peter had preached. 3,000 people had come to faith. And they were just so excited, they couldn't help but continue to tell people of the love of God. How has God entered into your story? How is God pricking at the story of your life, saying, will you respond? Will you commit yourself? Just as these young people have. Do you remember when God first invaded your story? For me, I was 10 years old. It was a sunny day. There wasn't a cloud in the sky. I remembered if it was yesterday. I was at Bible camp, and I was in the middle of the soccer field. And I know a truck just went by in a quiet road, because I remember we were all going like this. And he honked his horn. I recited my Bible verses and wondered what it was like for the counselor. I said, I'd like to give my life to Jesus. I went home and I told my parents and I told my pastor. I don't think they knew what to do with me. Because like many of you, I was young and I wanted to profess my faith in Christ. What was it like when Jesus first entered into your story? Maybe like me, maybe like these young people, you did profess your faith in Christ, and then you go, well, what's next? Well, many people think that when you profess your faith, you're done, you're good to go, you're in, you can get to coast the rest of the way. But here's the best thing, and our passage tells us this. This is just the beginning of the story. The best part is you get to live out the story of your faith in the life of the community of faith, but you also get to tell people about the story of the love of God and what God has done and is doing in your story and my story. And that's the best part, because we get to say, look at what God is doing. He's making all things new. Now, how do they do it, and what does that mean for us? Well, it says this. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, to fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and to prayer. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching. They were sold out. They were all in. Do you know anybody that's devoted to anything? Well, I know, because I asked this week. Many of you know Pastor Jack is a Blue Jays fan. I don't know what he's thinking. But he'll wear the shirt, And when he goes to a game, he'll wear a jersey. And sometimes he wears a jersey to church. He wears his baseball cap. I suspect he's got an app on his phone that will tell him the statistics on what is going on, how the game's going to play out, what you need to know. And then he goes to the game and he cheers him on. I'm not sure if he wears the paint on his face or not, but he's all in. If you ask him anything about the Blue Jays, I suspect he can tell you. Why? Because he's a devoted fan. He's all in. He's sold out. Here are people that have just come to faith. And Peter says to them, be devoted to the apostles' teaching. Why does he say that? Because if you and I are sold out to the teaching of the Word of God, it's evidence that you and I are all in, that we're sold out. Now, how do you do that? Well, you and I read the Word of God, not because you have to, not because it's expected, because you're a Christian, because you just can't wait to get your hands on the Bible and you want to read it because it's life-giving, it's transformative. It will give you wisdom, it will give you insight, it will guide you in everything you need to know about living your faith and about Christ. Memorize the Word of God. Why? Because when people ask you to give an account of the hope that is in you, you will be able to do it like this. Because God's Word is so ingrained in your life. Because we just can't get enough of Jesus. But also, put yourself in the place where when you come to church, you're not entertained, but you actually get solid teaching, that your faith is rooted and that it's anchored in your life. They devoted themselves, and this is part of your profession this morning, to the teaching of the Word of God. But they also developed this idea of fellowship. Here are new people who have just come to the faith, and they're trying to figure it out. In fact, it says they gathered, and they gathered every day. Could you imagine what it would be like if we got together every day? Would it excite you to be together every day with fellow believers in Christ? To get together every day, to worship, to break bread. And what they predominantly did is they told stories of what God was doing. They encouraged each other in the faith. I think that would be amazing. I think for our young people who profess their faith, and for each of us, what are those moments in the life of community where we can get together? I think of worship. I think of the 15th of every month where we gather for prayer. I think the Days for Girls program. I think of Insight or GEMS or Boys Club or our small groups. But what about moments where you and I just get together because we simply want to be together as the community of faith? They weren't perfect. They were just devoted to one another. And so I think of those questions that we asked the young people this morning. Do you believe that Jesus Christ was sent into the world to redeem us? That he was sent into the world to redeem you and me from all of our sin? Do we this morning believe that the Bible is the Word of God and has everything in it to teach us about faith and practice? Do we hear the promises of our baptism? That he will be our God and that we will be his people? That there is the promise of the forgiveness of sins which he invites us to accept and claim as our own? Or if we've made that profession of faith ourselves, do we hear the story of the power of the Holy Spirit calling together a community of faith to be a witness in the world? In the midst of all the transition, in the midst of all the uncertainty going on with this new and this young church, they couldn't wait to get together. And there are moments where you and I get to be the expression of the church. If you were here just about a week ago, the Days for Girls packed 103 kits to send overseas. It's exciting. There's the opportunity coming up for you to be that expression as the community of faith and say, look what God is doing as we're planning a trip to Bolivia. If you're interested in a mission trip this summer, or not this summer, sorry, this fall, talk to Marianne. She would love to tell you more about that. Maybe there's ways that we can partner with Phil and Janetta in their ministry work in Tanzania. I think of our refugee sponsor family that we're hoping will arrive soon. Maybe for you, that's volunteering in our vacation Bible camp that will be happening this summer. But it's also in how you and I go to the cubicle next to us tomorrow. How you and I go and we live out our faith as we go to a school playground. As we go to high school. And we discover what it means to be sold out for Jesus. The amazing thing about you and I living our faith out is that the majority of people will never step into this place. But you know what? They'll enter to the story of your life. You want to be the expression of what God is doing in the world. Invite believer and not yet believer into your story. Invite them into your homes. Tell the story of what God is doing, because it's hard. It is almost inconceivable for people to understand and believe in a God to whom they cannot see, to whom they do not experience, and sometimes we don't articulate very well. But you know what's amazing? Maybe you invite them to a social we have at the church. You invite them into your home. People will see the story of your life. They'll see the story of how you wrestle and how you struggle, how you celebrate. They'll see the story of your priorities. And people will be able to see what God is doing. Your story, your witness, your daily expression of faith is the best witness that you and I can have to tell to the world about the love of God. Here is a church that has just been formed with many different ideologies and religions surrounding them. And you notice they don't waste their time trying to argue why they're all wrong, why the priorities of the world just don't make sense. You want to know why? Because they're too busy telling the story of what God is doing. So let me ask you this morning, what is God doing through the power of the Holy Spirit in your story? Because here's what the Spirit says. Finish the job. Finish the job that I started. Already when the plan was met for Jesus to enter into the world. Finish the job that was evident when the Spirit came upon the church. And realize that I will always be with you. And I will never let you down. You, people of God, are the best expression of what God is doing in the world. May God use us to be a powerful witness to a world that is longing and hungering for Him. Would you pray with me? Thank you, God, that you are still doing a new thing. Thank you that you are calling people to faith. Lord, we thank you for these young people this morning that stood here and say, I want to live for Jesus and I want to do it in the context of the church. And Lord, we pray that together we would be the expression of what you are doing. Would you move your church to be a vibrant, a radiant testimony of grace and action. Lord, when words are hard to come by, may our lives be the story of what you are doing. May our lives be the story of what you are doing, because we know that as people experience that, they'll ask questions and the story of faith will naturally come. And so, Lord, I'm going to be so bold to pray that even if we're not ready, this week you would provide opportunities for that very thing to happen. As we enter into the story of people's lives, that there would be opportunities and that we would see them clearly, and that by faith we would step into them knowing that you will guide that, you will guide the words and the discussion, Lord, that the story of faith may come through to somebody in our circle this week. And that our lives would be a powerful testimony to what you're doing. Lord, we thank you that as a community of faith, we get to do that together. Lord, we want to continue to remember Julie's mom. Lord, we pray that you would continue to heal her and strengthen her and refresh her. Lord, we pray that there would be more and more signs of healing within her body. We pray that you would strengthen her. And that, Lord, even as she's in hospital this morning, Lord, that you would encourage her faith. And that she would be reminded that you are with her. Lord, again, we want to thank you that her dad was able to come out of the hospital. Lord, as he continues his recovery, we pray that you, would continue that as well. And that you would fully strengthen both of them, that they could be reunited together. And Lord, we want to pray for Bruce's brother, Lord. We just pray that you would be with him, Lord, as the cancer has come back. And Lord, we just pray that you would guide the doctors, Lord, that you would give them wisdom and insight as to how to proceed, Lord. We pray that you would push the cancer back from his body, Lord, and that you would strengthen him. And Lord, we pray that you would use Bruce and Angela and others, Lord, to speak the story of faith. And Lord, that their faith would be able to be shared with Bruce's brother. And his faith would be encouraged, that you would strengthen him and refresh him. Lord, we thank you for your church. Lord, we thank you for Community Church this morning. We want to thank you for the impact that it's had on the lives of these young people. We want to thank you for the impact that it has on the story of our faith. And Lord, we pray that you would continue to use this church to simply tell the story of what God is doing. And may your spirit continue to move and sweep through this place in such real and powerful ways that as devoted, diehard followers of Jesus, we would look for whatever possible way we can to tell the story of faith. And Lord, we want to thank you that you poured out your spirit. We want to thank you that daily people are being added to the numbers of the kingdom of God. We want to thank you that your church is a visible expression of faith in action. And so, Lord, we give you ourselves this morning. And we pray that you would have your way within us. And if there are those of you this morning, Lord, that are wondering, got questions, or maybe we're saying, you know what? I want to step out. I want to be sold out for Jesus. That, Lord, that we would do so, that we wouldn't leave this place without doing business that we might have to do with you. And that we would be able to see what you're doing in our story. Thanks for loving us. In your name we pray.